Back in on Canuck Central, Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. As we continue on the program, you'll hear Don Taylor a little bit after 5 o'clock. Donnie's been around a long time. Get his take on the Pettersson comment about how annoying the media is here in Vancouver.
Are you saying Donnie is old?
I wouldn't say it to his face like you do, but yeah, I think I was implying that at the very least.
Well, I hope Donnie has something to say about that later.
Yes, this hour of Canuck Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. You know what? Let's just get right into it. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the plan was to talk about Rick Tocchet today. And I know there's a growing sentiment amongst fans that the part of the reason the Canucks can't score for the life of them lately is the head coach, and his defensive approach to the game has just completely taken away, zapped the offense from a lot of the players on the roster. I don't fully agree with that, and I guess the team doesn't either by what you mentioned to Frank Saravalli earlier, Sat.
No, I think, you know, when you look at how the Canucks have played, it's been very frustrating with their lack of offense, right, and just their struggles this season. And there's a lot of doubt from a lot of Canucks fans when it comes to Rick Tocchet. But I don't think the organization is really doubting the abilities of the team's head coach. And like Frank mentioned, there has been a lot of talk about contracts, and everything I understand is that Tocchet has been solely focused on the team, and it's not a situation where he's been, in any ways, at least as far as I've heard, angling to have conversations as the focus has been on the team. But I do think here, especially as we get closer to deadline and past the deadline towards the end of the season, that the Canucks and Tocchet are going to have a conversation, and I think that will be very illuminating as far as where Tocchet wants to go. I think internally there's a sense that Tocchet is happy here, but the only person that can answer that is Rick Tocchet. And like Alvin mentioned, it's going to be a two-way street.
Yeah.
But I think as far as the street the Canucks are on, they're very willing to keep it going here with the head coach.
It's, I mean, they have an option for next year, but it's really comes down to how does Tocchet feel about continuing in this role with the Vancouver Canucks? Alvin, as you mentioned, you know, essentially laid it out for us that they want to continue with Rick Tocchet. And the thing about head coaches is, like, I mean, if you have your guy and you believe in how Rick Tocchet is running the team, how he's managed through the situation, everything was peaches and roses last year for this team, and Tocchet really made the most of it, won the Jack Adams. It's been a lot tougher this year, and he's had to deal with a lot more than you would even in a normal, just regular tough season for a team, as we know. But I think through all of it, the Canucks have stayed within reach of a playoff spot, despite of the team's struggles, in spite of all the injuries that they've had. They've maintained a little bit of their identity. Like, these are all positives and pros of the job that Rick Tocchet has done, even if, you know, we're seeing a lot of guys fall short of what their potential ceilings, what their production should be this season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't think any of that is really blamed on the coaching staff. That's not to say that there aren't things that obviously they want to see improvements in, or things that they want to see changed or at least adjusted as time goes on or whatever, but I don't get the sense that that's where it's at either. And we were asked on during a mailbag last week, right? What percentage chance do you think Rick Tocchet returns, right? And I kind of put it at 48-49%, just under 50%, because I just couldn't, you know, I didn't feel great about him coming back, but you can't say no. I'm still kind of like at that 50-50 range. Like, I don't know what Rick Tocchet wants to do. You know what I mean? That's going to be the question ultimately. But, and.
Well, whenever we've asked him about it, he essentially says, like, he's focused on the day to day. He's focused on coaching this team. I'm sure he was focused on the Four Nations for the last couple of weeks. Now he's back into it, thrown right into the fire. So, if he's true to his word, which I imagine he is, and he has been pretty honest, I'm not sure he has looked a ton into the future, especially for a guy that, you know, he's going to have a ton of options available no matter what he wants to do with this position here in Vancouver.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a situation where they're just going to go into the option year. I think there's going to be some sort of resolution, right? And hopefully from the organization standpoint, a contract extension for the head coach.
Yeah, and talks could be coming up in the not so distant future. How those go, I mean, we'll see. I think Tocchet is going to have a pretty good bargaining position to be to ask to be one of the highest paid head coaches in the league. I mean, he just won the Jack Adams, so he's going to be well sought after. He was just a part of Team Canada's coaching staff. Maybe not the utmost highest paid coach in the league, but I'm sure he would. He's able to command among that type of range, Rick Tocchet is, with where he's taken this Vancouver Canucks squad. So, Brock Besser then. This, an ongoing situation. We are getting closer to the deadline. And what is it that you always say, Sat? Deadlines push decisions?
I do think so. And I think for the Canucks, the biggest question is term, right? And, you know, the sense I get, and Besser has been very clear about this. He wants to stay, and I think he's willing to play ball, so to speak. But it has to be reasonable, right? And I thought Frank brought up an interesting scenario. What if you just go 3 years at a big number, and then he can get another contract after? But there's been a lot of three-year contracts for Brock Besser. I think he wants some stability here, so we'll see ultimately where it goes. But I think if the Canucks actually get to the 6-7 year range, like, they can get Besser signed. Like, I don't think it has to be 8 years here for Besser, right? But so far, the Canucks haven't really shown that they, you know, want to go that far. I know, you know, Rick today mentioned that he wouldn't be surprised either if Besser signs. And that's something I've been saying now for about a week, that don't be surprised if he does end up staying here. And I do think between now and the trade deadline, there's going to be a final offer made here by the Canucks. Like, they'll put their best foot forward. I don't know if it's going to be enough for Besser, but it's going to be like it's going to have to be a team friendly deal. And I do think the Canucks understand, like, their best offer has to be reasonable. I don't think it's, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
we're going to make our best offer. It's a 4 year deal. It's like, you're
not $42 million. Yeah.
You're right. It's like, and I mean, like, you know, like, I think the number I would be really curious to find out, and it may not be as big as people think. And I think that's what's going to be very telling about this, that if Besser signs a really team-friendly deal, what does that truly tell you about his desire to stay here?
It means he really wants to stay here. And, you know, you like seeing that from a player. Brock has said it a bunch of times, but you really feel it when the actions match up with the words and a contract that is very obviously a team-friendly deal. And that's, you know, if it's in the 7 range at 7 years, then I would say that's a team-friendly deal. I would say he left some money on the table, because I do think he can get above 8 in free agency if he really wanted to push it and go wherever is going to offer him the best deal available.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, though, you're right. Like, so far, the Canucks, I don't think, they haven't really moved past, I think, 4 or 5 years based on kind of, you know, how we can surmise this, because term being the issue here. Like, are they actually willing to go to 7? Like, would Besser sign 6 years? Because the best offer might be something like that, right? Like a 6-year deal.
Yeah. From the Canucks.
Yeah.
Well, that would be really interesting. I would imagine the Canucks would have to come up on the average annual value to get him to go to 6 years, right? So that way the number evens out a little bit. The total value of the contract evens out a little bit. Maybe then you're going into the 8.5 range to get Besser on a 6-year deal.
Yeah, even if you're an 8th, that gets you to 48. So you know what I mean? So it, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the Canucks' so-called best foot forward is going to be, but that's going to be presented here. And I think ultimately, as much as I don't like the notion of him being their own rental, so to speak, like, there's a real chance that Besser's still here past the deadline and doesn't have an extension. Like, that's a real possibility here. I don't like that myself, but that is
I just don't know how you can really entertain that when the situation is what it is with this team. Like they don't.
I don't disagree.
They're nowhere close to being any sort of contender right now.
I think if you can get the value we talk about, is it a first round pick overall? Not a first overall pick, but like a late first round pick value, something along those lines. To me, it's foolish not to move him if you're not signing him before the deadline, right? If you can't get a good offer for whatever reason, that changes the equation. But I have a hard time believing you can't get a decent offer for a guy who's a good goal scorer, who showed well in the playoffs last year, in a market where there are very few players available to begin with. You know what I mean? So I don't like the idea, but, it's been mentioned that he could be quote unquote their own rental or whatever. And that is a real possibility here.
I guess the possibility of like, hey, kind of what the number is that it's going to take best to sign Besser. So if it goes past the deadline, then you just kind of evaluate it as it goes. So even if something isn't quite done before the deadline, you can look at it that way, but it just doesn't really compute with the way that the team has been playing. And maybe the most interesting thing was what Frank mentioned as a possibility. Could you convince Besser to go even shorter term, let's say 3 years or 4 years, and convince him to maybe go the Tyler Toffoli route, where you're kind of signing 4-year deals at a time and you're eligible for another extension at 32 years old and you make up the total value of the contract that way versus signing in for 8 years right now.
Yeah, and for all the talk about Besser wanting the long-term contract, like his career earnings are now are pushing $40 million. It's not like he hasn't earned a decent amount of money so far, right? So there is some logic behind it. But everything that we've heard so far has been that he wants to sign a long-term deal and have security because he's never been able to get that. And I think it'd be a good time for him to do so. But I think that's the scenario that I wonder if players are going to do more of, especially with the cap going up, right? And especially with some teams being reluctant to give the term on big contracts, especially with the cap going up and having internal budgets and how many years they want to lock themselves in. Do we see some, teams and players be willing to take the big AAVs over 3 years? And you do a couple of those or you set yourself up for that next longer term contract a bit later down the road or whatever. But because the numbers are getting bigger, and if the AAVs, like for some guys, can be $9 million, if you're getting nine over 3 years, for instance, that's still $27 million. That's a lot of money for 3 years, So I think that does change the equation because that's what happened in the NBA, right? When players started making $30 million plus per season, well, why not sign a 3-year $90 million deal and give myself a chance to go elsewhere in 3 years?
Yeah, it opens up different possibilities for players knowing that the cap is going up so much over the next couple of seasons. So something to keep an eye on with Brock Besser, but the team is not looking really all that strong. And, this two games against Vegas and Utah, I do feel like the frustration feels like we're riding the roller coaster a little bit too much here, given that Quinn didn't play in either of these two games and the Canucks stuck with Vegas, even though they lost the shot clock. And last night, I know the shot clock was also brutal against Utah, but when I watched the game and when I was counting chances myself, they ended up pretty even. I think I had it at about 6-5 in favor of Utah, at least at 5-on-5. So, it was a fairly even game where the Canucks really struggled to convert on their chances and convert with their shots towards the net. Now, Utah was probably still the better team on the night, so you can take that and say, well, yeah, they're not a contender. And so this has to really sort of mold the way that I think a little bit about the deadline and how I feel about Besser. Can't use him as your own rental. You really got to look at how you're shaping up this team more for the offseason and the way forward than you are for what it looks like just for this playoff run. And I think that's kind of the way they've been looking at it for the last couple of months anyhow.
Yeah, it's more about long term, but there is a clear desire still to be a playoff team, right? But
yeah,
you know, that's you know, my big thing too last night on the post game show is you see, unless Pettersson finds his game, they're simply not good enough to be more than just a team that makes the playoffs. And Quinn comes back, sure, it gives them a bigger boost, they're going to be a better team, but you're not going to do anything significant this year. So be very careful about what decisions you're making here the rest of the season. You can have the best of both worlds, like we talked about, be a partial seller, be a little bit of a buyer, and still end up with more assets back in return and give yourself a chance to make the playoffs and be in the mix at the very least and get some experience. I think there's value in doing that. But let's be realistic about what this team is this season. Short of making some spectacular moves to significantly increase the ceiling of this team, they're a team that's going to make the playoffs but not do anything beyond maybe get a one or two rounds. Right? Like, what's the absolute ceiling of this team? It's like maybe get into the Western Conference Final if everything like falls in place and you get goaltending performances with them standing on their heads. But like they're not realistically getting to a cup or winning a cup this year, right? And I think that's very evident with how they're playing and how many other guys are struggling. And it's clear they still have a real talent deficiency in their forward group. They have a lot of positive things and things I like about the team, but they don't have a lot of diversity as far as skill sets go either, right?
No.
So there's a lot of work that needs to be done to make them a contender.
They've got a lot of complementary pieces. They don't have a ton of standout pieces in their forward group. They don't have any right now with Pettersson playing the way that he is. And Pettersson became the focus again today, finding himself in the eye of the storm after the quote that has since gone viral with Ian McIntyre was posted to sportsnet.ca. There was a big blurb from Rick Tocchet on Pettersson and his confidence and wanting him to rip pucks, shoot the puck more often, be more confident in his shot, continue to move his feet, which has been the saying going all the way back to last spring for Rick Tocchet about Elias Pettersson. And IMAC tried to follow up with Pettersson on this, and IMAC's going to join us tomorrow, by the way, but IMAC tried to follow up on this with Pettersson after he had spoken to the media in a scrum. And that's when Pettersson said, it's more annoying dealing with the media. And he's done himself zero favors here, Sat, with this comment. And it might seem like a little thing, but it's something that has really taken a life of its own amongst the Canucks fan base and hockey media today, and made Pettersson the subject du jour once again.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's all probably some, upon reflection and a night's sleep, there's probably a level of regret from the player for answering that question that way, because of especially the reaction it has generated. Here's another distraction to some extent. They're on the road, right? There are media covering the team on the road here, like Drans was there and IMAX there. So there are a couple of people there, but you're not in the eye of the storm, so to speak, at home. You still have a week before you come home. So I don't think it's going to be this huge distraction, but now you've created another thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's a needless thing. And personally, I don't care what players think and say about the media, whatever. You guys can say whatever you want. But at the end of the day, the organization challenged him to be accountable and face the music.
Yes.
That's not somebody being accountable and facing the music,
no.
Right? And even if it comes from a place of frustration after the game, missed the chance, you're pissed off or whatever, and maybe you can talk yourself into it's good that there is some defiance in him or whatever, and maybe you saw him be frustrated on the bench, that for a guy that's very stoic generally, he is showing a level of frustration, and maybe that's a good thing, and maybe that can help him or spur him on. But that's, again, grasping at straws. So I think at the end of the day, it was a needless thing to do. He shot himself in the foot, and now you have to deal with the consequences. You know, like, you got to mature, you got to handle these situations better, and he handled it poorly.
It was nice to see a little bit of emotion out of Elias Pettersson after he missed the breakaway chance, and then, you know, some defiance after the game. Look, you know, the media has nothing to do with it, really. The media wasn't an issue when you were scoring over 100 points in a season, so why is it an issue now? If anything, we've been pretty soft on Pettersson. I think some of the rhetoric around Pettersson in general has been fairly soft around him. And yeah, for a guy making top five money in the league, you better bet that there are pretty large expectations on you to be more than a guy who's on pace for 50 points. So, I mean, all of it's pretty obvious, but it's just kind of funny that it's really blown up in the way that it has. And blown up even more than Josh's speculation of the knee brace Elias Pettersson. And we've now known that it was just speculation, Josh.
Yes. Don't take it as fact. I'm not a doctor. I said it wasn't clear.
His knee looks bigger.
I still stand by that. His knee looked bigger.
All right. That's all fair. But I think it's an important lesson for Josh and the fact that, you know, Josh,
I'm not going to take the lesson.
No, yeah. You are a member of the media, and now you do have some standing. So when you say things, people will react to them. So like they say, with great power comes great responsibility, Josh. And I hope it's a good lesson for you.
It's a low risk lesson. I'm not too worried about it.
And so I'd say, yeah. So I checked in on this too. From everything I've heard, he's not wearing a brace. He wasn't wearing a brace. So there's not a brace, and everything. You know, again, like I've mentioned this before, I'll mention it again for those that may. You know, we talked about this until we're blue in the face. Anybody you talk to on player side, team side, they all downplay the injury. It's clear, obviously, like you saw him ice his knee, that there's something.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a sense, at least nobody's willing to, even on the player side, go into any sort of discussion and saying, oh yeah, like this is a problem and this is why he's struggling. Like there's been complete denials and downplaying on that from both sides of this entire time. And even when you check in now and ask, it keeps coming down to confidence. And if he gets confidence, maybe he starts changing. So obviously there's something there. The extent of it is unknown and nobody's willing to use it as any sort of excuse.
Josh had 81,000 views on that.
Great.
On the speculation of a new brace.
Why did it look bulkier? Am I wrong? I guess I'm wrong.
Yes, you're wrong.
It's all an illusion. What's funny about the whole situation is like I liked Pettersson's game maybe up until the, you know, missed breakaway and what happened at 6-on-5, like passing up the shot, double clutching and doing those kinds of things. Like Pettersson felt a little bit more dangerous last night. He set up the DeBrusk goal. He had some other setups. He had some good chances. You noticed him on the offensive end a little bit more. And I know we're not like at an extremely high bar or where the bar should be for a guy making 11.6. But honestly, like it felt like a game where, okay, there's at least some stuff here, you know, and rather than, you know, that San Jose game before the Four Nations break where it was just like, man, did Pettersson even play tonight? You know, so that's really the funny part of the Pettersson discourse today, at least for me. It's interesting the way that this blows up around the big money player on the Vancouver Canucks. All right, Don Taylor's going to join in his take on the whole situation. We'll get to his thoughts on it in hour number two of Canucks Central on Sportsnet 650.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.